their parents, they know not what they do. They really don't. And some of them are doctors. I've seen posts by doctors that have proudly posted their child's, you know, vaccine status. Mom, my child's 5 years old and, you know, I'm so happy to get them vaccinated. Then there was a woman today who posted on Twitter.
Even the Surgeon General did that.
Right, right.
A picture of him hugging his kids saying, I'm so happy I got my 5 year old. I'm like, this unibrow stooge. You know, it bears the question real quick. Do these folks believe the bullshit that they spew? They actually believe it?
I do believe they do. But what we have to remember, and this is why I try to tell folks, when you do see your doctor is a doctor. We don't know what their specialty is, if it's anything, if it's just blanket, general practice. Be prepared with questions to ask them. And when you see they can't answer them, they're showing you they're just parroting the talking points, which means you cannot trust them. Now, there are some doctors
right.
that have really put the work in. And there's one in my community that he's 100% against these vaccines. And he'll tell you why he's against them. And so he put the hard work in. But there's other doctors that just say, oh, you really need to get it because it's a good thing to do and yada, yada. So I went to the doctor with my mother yesterday. Now, in my life, in my world, everywhere I go, it's like it doesn't exist. You know, shopping, school, everywhere, life is normal. Life is normal. Every restaurant, you name it, everything is normal. Go to the doctor's office. And they have the chairs separated. I mean, it's like March 2020 all over again in the doc. And it's funny because it's like, wouldn't doctors be the least afraid of germs? That's why they became doctors.
Right, exactly.
So I'm sitting there laughing at the irony of this. But I will say, once we got back in the room and they, you know, they have the printout. Now, my mother's printout is 100%. All supplements, and it's been like that for 40 years. And they did try her on a blood pressure medicine, like in the spring, and she took it for a couple of days. I'm not taking it. And she didn't. And her blood pressure has been fine, and it was fine in the doctor's office. And so he looks at it all, and you can see he knows this is a losing battle. And he never even mentioned the vaccine. Not once. Didn't ask if she was around anybody with COVID, if she had COVID, are you going to get the flu? He asked nothing about the flu shot. He asked nothing about the COVID shot, which I was shocked because when you walk in, they were taking temperature. Like, they really didn't even want me to go in. Like, they were like, do you have an appointment? No. But, you know, I bullied my way in. And, but, you know, take the temperature, wear the mask, you know, the chairs are set. And you're like, oh, here we go. This is ridiculous. Because once we walk out of here, we're walking back out into the normal world. We walked right back out.
It's fantasy land. It's like fantasy.
Yeah, we went to breakfast. We went shopping for the day. Everything was normal. But when you're in the doctor's office, it's weird. But I think, like, I was watching him read that. And then he was kind of like, oh, this one's interesting. And, you know, he was like just looking at the supplements, but that was it. Like, he did not question. And I thought, well, God, that's a positive. I like that. But I think when he looked at that list of supplements, he was like, yeah, this person's not getting a vaccine. No way, no how.
Exactly.
Now, what I'm going to be curious is to see if that ICD-9 code, the ICD-10 code, appears on any of the insurance paperwork.
That's like, if you refuse to get the jab.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And it goes to database. And they say, oh, here are all the non-compliers.
Right. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, that's definitely what it's being used for. 100%.
I'm going to get t-shirts with that code printed on it, wear it around. Let people know
that. I think.
where I stand.
I think that's a good idea. I think it's pretty funny. Yeah, billable code. It's a billable code. It's shocking. Patient refusal. Yeah, they'll know where we all are at some point. And you know, the digital, you know, that's all the push for the digital IDs. And I think Zero Hedge had an article about the microchipping with right. vaccine passports. Did you see that? Well, I also saw a video that was done in Sweden in 2018. And the people were getting microchipped then with the RFID. It wasn't for a vaccine passport, but it was for everything else. Boarding trains, boarding planes, luggage check-in, your bank card number, all between your thumb and your index finger. There's this like grain of rice size RFID chip. This is in 2018. So they were already using chips for convenience. So again, there'll be a lot of people on board with this that think it's great. You could go to the gym, you swipe your hand. You don't need to carry your wallet anywhere. You don't need to do any of that. It's all on your person. You don't have your passport, your driver's license. All of your information is on that grain of size.
It was about 3 years ago. Thing. 3 years ago, back in the True Pundit days, that we started tweeting about that. About Gates and the under the skin things, and and they came out. Gates said that's not true. My words were taken out of context, and all the fact checkers came swooping in.
Paid for fact checkers
saying we were liars and all this stuff. And we're, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years into the coming back into journalism. I'm like, wow, I think maybe we struck a nerve with these guys. I never thought we were wrong because we're using his own words. And now, oh my God, it's exactly what he said.
Well, you know, when I was watching it, I thought back to the Yuri Harari conferences that I've listened to, where he used the term hackable animal, that we humans will be hackable animals, you know? And, well, that's true. If you have this implant in you, and they say it in the video, that even though everything is encrypted, blah, 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 absolutely you could be hacked. So it's one thing to hack your phone or hack your laptop, but now they're hacking you as a person.
Well, like, they could do anything. Who knows what they could do?
They could do it, right.
They put in your body with the flu shots and all this other crap. I mean,
right. You're folks a cyborg now.
They were going to get away with the folks who thought they were going to get away with two jabs are kidding themselves. It's just a warm up.
Oh, no, no. Now they're talking like 4 a year every 3 months. You know, you'll need a booster every 3 months.
Real quick, what happens when you hold out, and you say, no, I'm not going to do it, And they're up to 8 jabs, 9 jabs. Like, how do you then jump in? Oh, well, you have to show up and get your 10 shots. It's like, what? What are you fucking crazy?
Oh, yeah, they'll do that like they do the kids. They'll stick them like pin cushions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could be tired for the next couple of days or dead.
Yeah, no. No, no. I mean, it is going to happen to some people, and I feel bad for them. And believe me, there's people in the pain community that have had to, you know, for their jobs have had to, you know, get it. And there's a lot of people that are beyond, they're adamantly against this. Which is the sad part. You're forcing these people. This is going to cause psychological damage when you are forced to do something. So it's different to do something you don't want to do. You're being forced to put something in your body that you don't want to do. Then you have to live with the what if. You know, Carl Denninger's doing his work on extracting data and putting it into the Excel where he's identifying what he calls the hot batches. Because
yeah, we had him on. We had him on the show.
Right.
Yeah.
So even some of the people that might have gotten those batches may not have had a reaction as of yet.
Yet is the word.
Well, right.
Yet is
right.
The word.
So that's right. So you will have no idea, like, you know, does it come at the 6-month mark? Does it come at, you know, What time does it come? If it comes, you know, I sent you an article today from the actor that was on the Vernon Shirley, 69 years old. He was dead in his house for 3 days.
The Big Ragu.
The Big Ragu.
I used to run into him in Bergen County when I was covering Bergen County. I used to run into the Big Ragu all the time, and I see him at the courthouse. I don't know what he was doing. Maybe he was doing some kind of title work or something, but I always saw him at the court. I lived in the vault of the courthouse.
Right.
I was like,
that's where all the information is, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't before there were, you could type this stuff up on computers. You had to go look for stuff, and I literally lived in the vault. Mm-hmm. Like the editors used to say, where's Moore? Oh, he's over at the courthouse. Oh, okay.
Playing with the microfiche.
Yeah, exactly. So I used to run into the Big Ragu, and I would just yell, Ragu! And he would just hold up his hand, you know, say, what's going on? But he was suffering from blood clots.
Yes, but this is what's so frustrating, because the folks writing all these articles, if they want to shut people up like us, then right out of the gate, it should be, we spoke to a family member, they were not vaccinated. And then you could just shut it down. But you leave everybody wondering when you say 69-year-old was healthy, but had been hospitalized and suffering from blood clots. That is a red flag right there, because we know many people are dying with blood clots.
They're not going to say that. They get in trouble for telling the truth.
Exactly. And so you pick up the clues, and the clues are the family says sudden death, unexpected. Well, there was also a woman today. I think she's in the UK, and I think she holds some sort of a job with the digital passport stuff. She's in that line of work. But she put up a tweet that her 5-year-old died suddenly.
Now, 5 years old?
Yeah, but she doesn't put, right, she doesn't put whether or not. Now, she is for, I went through her timeline, and she is for the vaccine. She is for the digital passports. But she doesn't put whether the child was vaccinated. And once again, you could read through hundreds of comments and nobody even asks the question.
These folks are living in a vacuum. They don't, it doesn't even cross their mind. They're brainwashed.
No.
I consider myself a fairly fair person when it comes to making a decision on something. I look at the good, I look at the bad, I look at the stuff I don't want to look at, because it may tend to tell me that I'm wrong, but I look at it anyhow to formulate an opinion. These folks don't do that. They trust the government 100%. Fauci, how dare you attack Fauci? Look, there's people from all over the world saying, how dare you? We get emails. How dare you attack Fauci? He's a sentinel of what's good. I'm saying these people are lost.
Oh, my God. No. See, and that's why I spend most of my time reading both sides. Like, you know, there are some things that some people I follow and things that I read that would equate to, like, going in back alley seedy bars. You know, it's like, I don't want to be here, but, you know, I got to see what's going on. So you have to read everything. And sometimes I don't mind having my mind changed. If you could prove things to me, or if I could go find things, I don't mind changing my opinion on something if it makes sense to me. But these people don't want to even look. They don't even want to peek behind the curtain. And nothing is even registering a little bit. Like, when all of this came out, like when the vaccine started coming out and people started getting sick, that my mother and I started talking, because she had been suffering for years with multiple cases of shingles. And the doctors never really gave her an answer. And then we really traced it back. We traced it back to the Prevnar 13 shot. And I said, well, look at this. Your doctors never even tried to bring that to your attention, that it was probably a reaction to the Prevnar. And time has passed, which means nobody would have reported this into the VAERS system. Do you see how this works?
Yeah, I see
how it works. Do you see how many people are probably suffering. Like, okay, I'll give you another strange, it's a concerning story. My husband has a condition that's called Meniere's disease. So about 20 years ago, a virus must have hit him in his body, but it really attacked his left inner ear. That left him for like a month on his back, because you have these little hairs in your inner ear and they have to settle down.
Right.
So he had constant vertigo, constant nystagmus of his eyes, which would equate to like having the spinning drunks, if you've ever had the spinning drunks where your eyes are closed and it feels like everything's spinning.
So that's that. Every time I finish the show, I have that.
Well, I know you know what I'm talking about. So so this was him.
Is that a,
and,
that,
and he had...
That's a, you, just because I'm Irish, how dare you? You damn Italians.
It's not because you're Irish.
Go ahead, I'll shut up.
It's because, yeah, okay. Anyway, so until he learned to really manage it and know the signs, like there could be something he could turn his head really quickly and he could just bring it on, just bring on an attack. And he's learned to manage it. But the barometer affects it, like during hurricane season, his head feels like it's in a vice. It's something you live with. But at first, when you get this and you start vomiting and you're dizzy, well, at a certain age, it's also mimic, you don't know if you're having a heart attack, right? So you go right to the hospital. This was in the beginning. Well, out of nowhere, this one day, a couple years ago, my husband came home from work. He used to work the night shift. He came, it was bad. It was like August, September, bad weather. You know, the real black morning, the rain, and really bad. So 4 o'clock in the morning, he comes home with a Meniere's attack. He's home. He's done. He's in bed. So I'm out, and I get a call that the ambulance was taking my mother to the hospital. I'm like, what? So when I get there, she had, out of nowhere, she was fine. She got up. She was fine. All of a sudden, she got completely dizzy. The room started spinning. So anyway, of course, they thought it was her heart. The ambulance takes her in. So when I get there, she's shaking the whole thing. And I lean in and I go, oh, my God. Nick came home at 4 o'clock this morning with a Meniere's attack. So she looks at me like, oh, my gosh, do you think that's what it is? She's got all the doctors around her in the emergency room, and they're doing all the blood work. They're working to see if it's her heart. So as all the tests are coming back, it's looking like it's not her heart. But they're all kind of puzzled and confused. There's a couple of them. So I said, well, you know, if I want to, can I add my 2 cents? And of course, they kept her for observation. They admitted her, and they wanted to do all the, you know, heart stuff on her. So I told them, you know, my husband has this condition. He came home a few hours ago with the same exact symptoms. None of these doctors did not know what I was talking about. They had never heard of it. They didn't know. And I said to my mother, you know what the sad part is? Is I wonder how many people present with these symptoms and they're treated as heart patients across the board and they're never diagnosed with this condition. And it does take a while to professionally diagnose it. Like with my husband's case, he went through the ear doctors where they did the balance testing. Like they put him through a battery of testing to prove that, yes, it's Meniere's. This is your condition. You're stuck with it. And he's also deaf in his left ear. He lost his hearing to it. But it was a virus. Some virus, because it can land anywhere. You get a virus, it can land in your heart, your brain. You know, this is just where this virus happened to land, in his ear. And it put him down. It put him down for a solid month. But once he healed and he learned how to manage it. But that's what I was saying. I was like, all of these doctors never heard of this. And the symptoms could mimic a heart attack. You're vomiting, you're shaking, you're dizzy, you're sweating. all of it. But in the end, if all of your heart tests come back fine, these patients are being discharged without knowing what was wrong with severe vertigo. That's the thing. You get severe vertigo. And especially doctors should be alert that at certain times of the year, you may see an uptick in this because there's a lot of times I have to follow the barometer. You also have to follow your salt intake. Too much fluid in your ear canal can set you off into a vertigo attack. But again, you learn how to manage it. But I was very concerned with the fact that none of these people knew what I was talking about.
Maybe the takeaway from this is something we've discussed previously through the last year specifically. Maybe we give these folks too much credit.
That's it. So when they came, so my mother's attitude changed completely. Like, oh my God, I bet you this is what it is. And so she started to do well immediately. Like, phew, like I lifted the weight off of her. But as her test results were coming back good and they moved her to a floor, then they, and the other thing that they were fascinated with the heart, because her heart was good, was she was taking niacin at the time, but she's been taking niacin for 40 years. And the right niacin, not the wrong niacin.
Right.
So that they were fascinated by. But of course, for insurance purposes and cover your ass purposes, they wanted to give her a heart catheterization. And I said, why? Is there any indication that she needs a heart catheterization? Like, they backed off.
Well, how much did they make from it?
Exactly. But we push back. Like if the troponin levels are good, if this is good, if all of your preliminary testing is coming back good. And when I tell you this was probably about maybe 5 years ago. So here we are 5 years later. She still doesn't see a heart doctor. She doesn't have heart issues. So they would have needlessly done a heart catheterization and maybe caused problems. Who knows?
Think about it. A diagnostic test for COVID is what, like a PCR test, about $150 or something? $100, $150? If you go and get it on your own?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, that's top end. If they give you the same test in the hospital, they're charging between $4,000 and
$10,000. Oh, my God.
And we did a story where one hospital in Texas charged a guy $52,000 for a COVID diagnostic test.
No, this is disgusting.
So... follow the money.
It comes back to it.
It's so sad that it has to come back to that all the time, but it's one of the very basic tenets of the entire show. When in doubt, follow the money.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. But getting back to the thing where you say we give them too much credit, that's what I am trying to tell people. It's like, just because a doctor says you should get this because now, okay, I told you about my friend who had, she was immune compromised. She, because she was on medications for years for her liver and prednisone and all these immunosuppressants, she had COVID. They made her get the vaccine. Well, now she's in 10 times more problems. Very bad diagnosis, off the transplant off the liver transplant list now. But now we're all noticing major, and she's younger than me, major memory issues.
Yeah.
Big time.
I'm not surprised. They've done studies about fog.
This is not fog. This is telling a story and then midway through telling a different story, not knowing what time of day it is.
So she's qualified to be president of the United States.
But it's sad. It's very, very sad. It's sad. And this is somebody I tried to say.
But you're the fool. You were the, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, she's doing it again. She's trying to warn everybody. She's become a real pain in the ass.
Right.
She doesn't remember what your name is.
Well, I do go so far. Well, once the person on the other line is quiet, like to the point where they either don't understand, I start to gather you don't understand what I'm talking about, or you don't want to understand what I'm talking about. So once you're not asking me questions, I stop.
You're like, I don't. You say something, and it's like,
I shut down. Yeah. Yeah. I'll go. So anyway, you know. So,
anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, so how's so and so? You know, and blah 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 blah. What are you making for Thanksgiving? Yeah, you know, I'll do that. I'll just change the subject immediately because it's like you're either
enough about your impending death.
Right. I spoke to someone today that doesn't live in our world at all, and so we did start talking and. And she started asking me questions. We wound up on the phone for probably 2 hours. And while I was talking to her, I was sending her links to her text so that when we hung up, she could either watch or read because she was showing an interest. If she wasn't,
she's a potential grasshopper.
She's a potential lion. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, she definitely doesn't live in our podcast. She's just very, very basic. She does her job, takes care of her family, and she doesn't even watch the regular cable news. She's that far removed from it all. So that's why she was curious, because she's not been totally brainwashed. She's kind of, and because she's in the medical field, we had started talking about the ICD. I started questioning her about the ICD-10 codes. So she was looking them up while I was asking her. And that's when her curiosity, and then next thing you know, we wound up down a rabbit hole conversation. So because she was interested, I was more than willing to go down a lot of bullet points and send her some of the most heavy hitting things that we covered on the show, like that article, What Life Will Look Like in 2030.
Yeah, where you're going to own nothing and you'll be happy.
That's right. And you're going to like have your espresso machine delivered to you by drone, you know, if you need it within like 10 minutes. Like when you talk to somebody who's never heard of any of this, and I told her, I said, everything I'm giving you, absorb it. Don't try to share it with anybody yet because they will think you're crazy. I'm like, I'm years into this, you know.
Marie, so everything we said,
I know who to talk to.
Everything, yeah, everything you and I have said. We've dished so much dirt on Hotwire. People are like, I don't know what this Hotwire is about, but why do I have to pay for this? All this stuff all the time, right? I said, you don't have to pay for anything. You can, there's no one's holding a gun to your head to do anything. But everything we've said on Hotwire about Pfizer, about what's happening inside the FDA, we have some really slick FDA folks who are giving us stuff, and it's just fucking gem after gem, all right? Mm-hmm. And this has been going on for 19 months now, right? Everything we said is now suddenly this week, it's newsworthy. And the media is out there saying, oh, my God, I can't believe this. Now, the folks that listen to me, and when you're on the show and listen to you, and the folks that have listened to this for 2 years now, coming up on 2 years on the podcast and on Hotwire and stuff, they knew all this stuff. And some mm-hmm. of it sounded crazy back then, like you're saying.
It's
not crazy. It's all true. And now
right.
It's coming out now. It doesn't do anybody any good now. You know, the documents came out, Pfizer released documents in it. They were compelled to by a Freedom of Information Act. They released a number of documents, 500 documents, and it shows just adverse reactions through the roof, deaths, and that's all before the FDA approved this
Correct.
For emergency use authorization. Well, we've said that, but now the media is all up in arms. I can't believe this. Well, you're not very good at what you do, number one. And number two, it's too fucking late. It's too fucking late. I just thought I'd throw that out there because you're painted as an idiot when you're out front and then. Say, oh my God.
But this is how much, and this is the sad part. This is how much a large percent of the population doesn't know things. So as I was having this conversation with this person, smart person in the medical field, you know, nice life. We're not only talking about the vaccine. you have to build the story. So you have to start telling these people about the media and the corruption in the media. And these are people who have never heard of Operation Mockingbird. They've never heard of the Church Committee. They don't have a clue that the media is controlled, because you trust it. Like, why? And she said this to me multiple times. Like, why would they do this? What, like, remember we spoke to about if you don't study evil that exists, you know, people don't understand that evil and greed exist.